Hi guys, my name's Jamie and tonight's Bible reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1 to 16. That's on page 1187. All right, from the start of chapter 2. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi. As you know, but with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you, because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked day and night in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last.
Thanks, Jamie. As we consider God's word to us, let's pray. Lord, may your word live in us and bear much fruit to your glory. Amen. Well, as you'll know, if you've been with us for the last several weeks, we have three priorities as a church: reaching the lost, that is, sharing the good news of Jesus with those who haven't heard it or responded to it, reaching the lost, discipling the young, and growing believers. Those are our three priorities. And at the start of every year, around this time every year, we spend 1 week looking at each one of those. And today is week three. 2 weeks ago, we're looking at what it means for us as a community here to reach the lost and to help one another in that. Last week, we spoke about discipling the young, how St. James sees helping kids, teenagers, young adults become followers of Jesus. We see that as core business. That was last week. And this week we're focusing on growing believers. On a typical Sunday, not everybody by any means, but the large majority of people who come to church here would see themselves as Christian believers. And so a major part of our task as a church is to say, how can we help these people who are already Christians, how can we help them keep making progress in the Christian life? How can we help them grow as believers? And whenever we raise this topic, we emphasize that what we're talking about when we say growth is growing more like Jesus himself, resembling Jesus more and more. And in that, we're inspired by verses like Romans 8:29 that says, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. We want to conform more and more to Jesus, to his personality, to his heart. Now, for a unique person like you with your background and your temperament and your strengths and weaknesses, for a unique person to come to resemble Jesus more and more is a complex thing. And it's slightly different for everyone. But what we've come to understand as a church is that there's a certain number of practices that you can put in place in your life that facilitate this sort of growth. We've nominated five. They're on the back of your service handout there. Having a devotional life. This is a life practice where you regularly pray and read your Bible. That facilitates growing more like Jesus. Sharing your faith with others. Outing yourself as a Christian in your social network or in your work. Being a regular member of a Sunday community like this at 7 o'clock. Using your gifts in ministry to serve other people, being generous in that way. And finally, and this is going to be my emphasis tonight, being part of a small, interactive, mutual fellowship with other Christians. In our terms, being part of a growth group. And we intentionally call them growth groups, not just Bible studies or fellowship groups or community groups, because the point of having them is to help us grow more and more like Jesus. So that's the framework. That's what we're on about tonight. Re-engaging with that great vision of growing, especially growing by being in a growth group. And, of course, the idea of personal growth, personal development, is a pretty current one in our cultural moment for whatever reason. There's lots of self-improvement courses you can sign up for. You go to the bookshops, the personal development self-help sections are huge. I'm engaged in several personal development projects myself. I want to get better, for example. I want to get better at speaking French, and so I've joined a French meetup. And every second Saturday morning, a group of us meet in a little cafe over in Dulwich Hill. We talk bad French to one another. It's personal development, right? I want to get better at it. I found these people. They're going to help me do it, and away we go. In the month of February, I want to moderate my alcohol intake. I've joined this online community for this 30-day challenge. It's great. It's based in America where people aren't afraid to encourage. And so every day I get an email saying, day 15, you're doing great. It's personal development. I've joined the group that's helping me. I want to get better at explaining things and helping adults learn. I've signed up for an online course in adult education. We're very conscious of the idea of saying, yeah, I want to get better at something. I sign up for a personal development project. And today we're talking about spiritual growth, but we have to keep an eye out for what I'm going to call the spiritual growth paradox. Spiritual growth paradox. And the paradox is this. Spiritual growth, if you look at it closely, is actually not a personal development project at all. The fact is, spiritual growth for a Christian is almost the opposite of a personal development project. Why do I say that? Because on the one hand, you have this goal, which is to grow more like Jesus. But what was Jesus' goal? His goal, in his own words, from Mark chapter 10, was not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see the paradox in saying, that's my personal development goal. See, the personal development mindset is, okay, if I join a growth group, that's like going to a French meetup, you know, I'll benefit. But what did Jesus say? He said, no, it is more blessed to give than to receive. See the paradox? The personal development mindset says, I'm going to do this because I want to really work on myself. I want to work on my spiritual life. But the disciple mindset, to quote John the Baptist, looks at Jesus and says, no, he must increase. I must become less. And I want to think today about how actually abandoning a personal development mindset revolutionizes how we think about growth groups in our lives. Because our default setting is to think about growth groups in the same way that we think about, for example, boot camp. In other words, you feel like, well, you know, you can, if you're motivated, you can get fit on your own, right? You get your, you know, you get your active wear and your running shoes and out you go. But you think, no, if I join a boot camp, they will help me. They will help me achieve my goals. And we tend to bring this boot camp philosophy across into growth group. We think, oh, yeah, I've got my spiritual growth goals and the people at my growth group, they're like my boot camp buddies. They're going to help me accomplish my spiritual development goals. And you know what? I, as a preacher, I have taught this myself. I've even used the legendary story of the old Scottish pastor back in the day who became concerned that there was one household that had stopped coming regularly to church. And so one afternoon he pays them a pastoral visit. It's cold, it's wet. He goes into their cottage. They pull him up a seat there in front of the fire. They're all sitting around. He doesn't say a word. But after a while, he grabs the tongs. He reaches into the fireplace, pulls out a single coal, just places it there in front of the fire. They all stare at it. Gradually cools down, goes from red to black, sits there. He gets the tongs, he picks the coal up again, puts it back in the fireplace. Sure enough, starts to heat up, goes from black to red. Finally, it's blazing away again. He gets up, goes out of the cottage. Great pastoral visit, right? Great little sermon. You know, keep coming to church. Otherwise, you'll grow spiritually colder. You know, the fire will go out. That makes sense to us, doesn't it? It's like you've got to go to boot camp, otherwise, you know, you'll lose the rage. It makes perfect sense, which is why when we open our Bible, we expect to find that there. We expect to see something like, my dear brothers and sisters, continue in fellowship in order that you might receive strengthening and encouragement. We think it's going to say something like that. But actually, you open the Bible, and to your surprise, that boot camp philosophy, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. And then when you start to reflect on the nature of the Christian faith, it's kind of obvious. Because the Christian posture towards fellowship is not how can I benefit, but how can I be of benefit to others? Isn't that the Christian way of thinking? And sure enough, you turn to the New Testament and you look at the very earliest Christian communities after the resurrection of Jesus, Acts chapter 2, this little group meeting in Jerusalem, they're completely devoted to one another's welfare, not to their own. They're spectacularly generous, completely selfless. And then we bump into summary verses like Romans chapter 12, verse 10 that says, be devoted to one another in love, honour one another above yourselves. That's the Christian mindset. And so when it comes to spiritual growth, the Bible says, sure, go to boot camp. Go to boot camp so that others will get fit. There's a few passages coming up on the slide here. Look at this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Or from 1 Peter 4, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. In other words, God's word is saying, yeah, sure, engage in fellowship in case others grow weak, not in case you grow weak. Hebrews chapter 3 says this, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Isn't that a beautiful idea? Instead of saying, I better go to growth group because it might be good for me. You say, I wonder if anybody at growth group is tempted, is in danger of being hardened. I'm going to go. I'm going to go so that I can encourage them so that nobody at growth group will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Or 1 Thessalonians 5, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The point is that growth group is not a boot camp that you go to armed with your own spiritual development goals. And it can't be really, because the whole aim is to grow less interested in your own goals. The whole purpose is to grow more unselfish, more devoted to others, more humble, more of a servant, more like Jesus. Let me put it this way. You cannot succeed in a self-focused project to become more selfless. It cancels itself out. You cannot succeed in a self-focused project to become more selfless. That's the paradox. And I want to say to you, if you're joining us tonight and maybe you wouldn't necessarily call yourself a Christian believer, or you're not sure where you stand with Christian things, sometimes people come to church in that category because they feel like by coming to church, they might learn to be a better person. They're sick of whatever it is in their life. They're sick of treating people badly. They think, I'm going to go to church. You know, maybe that'll help me be a better person. And to some extent, you know, maybe it will, but you've got to understand that's not what this is. This isn't a boot camp that we've all showed up. This isn't like F45 and we're all just kind of trying to work up a sweat here. We're here to help others become better people. Well, how would the Bible explain what we're doing here? Well, the Bible would say that a growth group is less like a boot camp and more like a what? More like a body. The picture of spiritual interdependence in which we all need each other. In 1 Corinthians, it says, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So you go to a boot camp, you don't need those people. If one or other of them shows up or not, it makes no difference. But that's not how a body works. You come to growth group for the sake of others so that the body will have an ear and an eye and a foot. In fact, you think of that story about the Scottish pastor, it's actually backwards. Growth group is not like the little coal fireplace and if you pop out of it, you'll get cold. Growth group is more like a campfire that's a bit mediocre and you're the spare log that's lying out here. See where I'm going? For you to join makes the whole thing hotter. That's the vision. Not that if you hop out, you might cool off, but by you being in, the whole thing is better. Everyone burns more hotly. I want to think about this. Let's challenge our thinking about growth group. Most people who come to 7 o'clock on a regular basis are in a growth group. Let's think about our attitudes to growth group. What is your reason for joining a growth group? See, if your reason is, oh, it's boot camp, it's my own spiritual project, then you'll only join if you think you need it. Or you'll only join if you like the people in it. You'll say to Kaz, can I please be in a group with my 8 favourite people from church? But if your reason for joining is so that you can participate in the growth of others, then you'll say to Kaz, sign me up wherever you think I can contribute best. And you won't just look for a group full of people like you. That'd be like a hand looking for a group full of other hands. That's not a body. If you're a hand, you're going to look for a group full of feet and ears. You're going to look for people unlike you. That's the point. The hands don't need you. Oh, here's another question. When you complain about growth group, and I know you do, when you complain about growth group, what do you complain about? What are your criticisms? You might say, oh, growth groups. Not going to lie, boring. Or you might say, growth group, nobody shares. Nobody says what's really going on for them. Nobody really, you know, shares their stuff. You know what? You might be right. But you also might be evaluating your group on the basis of what it's doing for you. It's boring you. Or it's not helping you by people sharing their stuff. Rather than evaluating it on the basis of how well it enables you to meet the needs of others, like the extra log. Now, look, my point tonight, and I said to Kaz this morning, I said, oh, I'm really going to put the acid on people about growth groups, you know, today. My point is not people who are in a growth group are good, people who aren't in a growth group are bad. If you're in a growth group, you can go to supper early. If you're not, you've got to stay behind. It's not about that. You know what? There are bad reasons for not being in a growth group. There are also bad reasons for being in a growth group. That's the point of all this. We're talking about our hearts here. You might come to growth group because you feel like a martyr. Even though you've got an assignment tomorrow, you want people to know that. Doesn't suit me to be here, but here I am, right? I love Jesus, etc. And maybe somewhere deep in your superstitious soul, you think God might just reward you when the assignment is marked because the night before you showed up to growth group. Or you might come to growth group resentfully. You might say, this group really sucks, but I love being a junior high youth group leader, and if I don't go to growth group, I can't be a leader, so I've got to go. Yeah. This stuff is not easy, actually. How do you get your motives right? What if you do feel that way? How can we get our heart in the right place on this? Why is a growth group more like a body and less like a boot camp? More like a place where you serve others and less like a place where others help you? The answer is because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, that's why. Because it's true, it is a pain in the middle of a busy week when you've got an assignment or exam the next day. It is a pain to come out on a rainy Wednesday night and go to growth group. But it's also true that Jesus had such love for you that he left his place of comfort and joy to come into our world in order that we might find a place in his body. You know, it's true that you know, your group might be a bunch of pretty awkward people, and that's a concern for you. That's true. It's true there might be a total lack of compatibility in your group. But it's also true that Jesus sought out and fellowshipped with people who were least like him. Tax collectors, sinners, and you. Because, as he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And the gospel teaches us, doesn't it, that because our hearts just recoil from serving others, and just default to self-service. Because of that truth about us, Jesus became the perfect servant of others that we could not be. And that in dying on the cross as a servant, he took all the penalty, all the consequences that should have flowed to our self-serving hearts. And by rising from the dead and joining us to himself, he has freed us from those things. He's released us from the prison of self-service and given us a new heart of service for others. That's what's going on here. And so the reason to join a growth group and the reason to go with joy is not because I worship myself and my spiritual development goals. And it's not because I worship the other people in the growth group and their spiritual needs. No, it's because I worship the Lord Jesus, the Savior who became a servant for me. I'm going to finish by reading some sentences from Hebrews chapter 10. And as I read this, just listen to the way that it goes from Jesus' great work as a servant, shedding his blood, to the way that we engage in fellowship. Listen to this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And, ready? Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's our worship of that servant Lord that draws us together in service of others in our growth groups. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, Lord Jesus, that we may be so transformed by the way that you have served us, that our hearts would more and more rejoice in serving others in our growth groups. We ask this for their blessing and for your glory's sake. Amen.